your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing on with our roundtable discussion of the impact of social media, maybe I should say the potential impact of social media. I have to tell you, I think it's much more than potential, as I will probably say numerous times during this particular discussion. I think social media has the ability, quite frankly, to control the way society goes. And I find that to be a bit terrifying, because I view that as being analogous or similar to mind control. You know, the reason I am very, very interested in this subject is I was visiting Best Buys this past week, and I was chatting with a lady down there who just immigrated from Russia. She was a young woman, but she was very, very involved in the high-tech industry, very involved in social media, etc., etc. And she said, I have to tell you, my background tells me people in sophisticated countries should be very wary of social media. And the reason they should be very wary of it is, she said, I agree with you, Mr. Cortland. I am convinced that social media can actually control the way people think and the actions that people take. Hey, you guys, to me, that is absolutely terrifying.
I think that Chris's point that the social media and the internet is an incredible tool, and it's certainly bringing a tremendous amount of information to us and making life potentially really good. I think there's some really negatives, though, because the ability to influence is really controlled by who has the data on the individuals. And as you collect all this data, and that's what Amazon and Alphabet and Facebook are doing, they're collecting personal data and profiles on what you like, how you live your life, and they're gathering where you drive, what you do, what you shop for, what types of things that you know, are you a Christian, are you a Muslim, are you, all these factors about your life. And I think that it's incredibly risky to give that much information to a very small group of people, and then have the ability through the internet, through this connectivity that could be a very positive tool, to influence and drive outcomes. And I think when you see the rise of influencers, where you have a large number of people that, just because of what they look like, they get on Instagram and they're able to publish pictures and people follow them, and then they make literally tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising fees just because they're at a beach in a bikini, or because they're burning something off of their forehead in some crazy effect. It's, to me, I think there's a huge amount of risk to it.
What do you think, Mr. T?
Well, I agree. And again, it's something where a good technology, something that advances the usefulness of information, of the transfer of money, of the economy, of thoughts and so forth, is good, but only if we use it in context. And it's kind of like the creation, again, in this sense, is overtaking the creator. One of the things I think is emblematic of this, and so many thoughts we could be sharing, guys, is that when you look at these big, huge, monolithic corporations, this to me is a perfect example of how we need to really redefine our vocabularies. I have believed for years that capitalism and communism are two sides of the same coin. Capitalism is a little slicker about the way in which corporations with political control are used to amass all kinds of control to themselves, whereas the communism is a more ham-fisted way where the government does it directly. The end result for the average person is little different. And don't lose sight of that. And I'm glad that we see actually politicians in both parties, some motivated by things different than the others, who are calling this fact out and looking at a Facebook, looking at a Google, looking at a Twitter for how they are taking increasing control of money, of the economy, of the markets, and of our minds, and at least bringing that question in the out, which is good.
Dr. John, how good or how bad is this thing?
You know, I love the fact that when the internet came out, and it's still available to us now, it is an open forum where we can pretty much say anything. We can communicate to people all over the world. I regularly communicate to people in China, in Guam, in the Netherlands, sometimes on a daily basis, and I'm getting feedback from them on different things, and geopolitical science and things like that. At the same time, you know, it's a tool. It's like, you know, it's like a screwdriver, and you can use it to break into a home, or you can use it to build a home. And that's what I see happening now. And, you know, we have rules about using a screwdriver to break into a home, but we don't have any as a global society on the internet. And it is, you know, we're playing catch up. We've been playing catch up since day one, trying to catch up with societal norms and how they fit in that whole internet conundrum that we have now. It's a wonderful thing. It's amazing some of the things we can do now, you know, but it's also doing a lot destructively to us. For example, you know, a new study just came out that the average internet user has a frustration tolerance level of about 16 seconds. If the page doesn't load within 16 seconds, they start getting the same psychological things that happen when we talk about rage disorder. They start getting frustrated and angry. And, you know, you're talking to somebody who used to have a 300 baud modem back in the 80s. And, I mean, I can sit there and preach all day about how fast it is, but so many people have no concept that they've lost that contact with reality. And it's a scary thing. Again, I keep repeating how the internet is, and the people who run the internet, Facebook, the Instagram, the Snapchat, they intentionally feed those bikini clad people on the beach, which didn't work for me. So I'm just going to say that right up front. You know, and how people are able to take control of what we want to watch. They're going to feed those people. They're going to make sure they have that advertising revenue you were talking about. And then they're going to take people that they don't like what they're saying, and they're going to take away. They're going to demonetize their site because they don't like what you have to say. And that's wrong. And we have to do something about that. But what is it? I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade.
Jim, it's not beyond your pay rank, however. You are a securities guy. You spent much of your career in that area. Are rules the answer? And after you answer the question, why don't you take us home?
Well, I think, of course, some rules. And I don't want to have an argument with Chris, because fundamentally I believe that capitalism, if you leave unchecked, does create monopolies. Monopolies control, the same as state control does. So that's the risk here with the internet, is too much power in small groups. And I think we probably have to really rethink that and ensure that we don't have those types of controls and monopolies and allow actually free thought. And that's the foundation to our system.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.